But anyway, I'm glad to be here. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. But I sit and I read my Bible, and just before it gets to that that verse number 18, I was reading over this verse number 17, so I've got to read it to you. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. My friend, I believe we ought to be steadfast in the Word of God. We ought to stand steadfast in this time that we live and let others see Jesus in our lives. Now then, verse 18, but grow in grace. Several times during the prayer, I noticed my brother used the word grace. Thank God for his grace. Oh, the grace of God, dear friend, is the Holy Spirit took the grace of God and showed us our wicked condition and showed us our lost condition. And by grace are ye saved through faith. I'm glad to be saved tonight. He said, but grow in grace and in knowledge. Are you growing in grace? Since the day that you were saved, are you still a growing Christian? Can you say I'm a growing Christian? Can you also say I'm gaining more knowledge of the Lord every day? I'm gaining more knowledge every day. Okay, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory. Oh, how we ought to be just saying glory to his name at all time, now and forevermore. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd be with us through this message tonight. Now, Lord, I'm just a servant. That's all I am. Don't claim to be anything. Don't want to try to imitate anybody. I just want to be me for the glory of God. Thank you for these people, and I pray, dear God, for this, our brother. I pray, Lord God, that the work of the Holy Spirit would be in his heart and his life. And Lord, none of us know how long we're going to live upon this earth. But I know one thing, Lord. You give us grace to live by, and you'll give us grace to die by. Lord, I thank you for being so good to us. Bless him real good, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The joys of spiritual growth. Now, dear friend, I believe that it ought to be said of every one of us as a Christian, we are not mature yet. We'll be mature when we get to heaven. But I believe while we're living upon this earth, I believe that as we live here, day by day, every day that God gives us to live on this earth, I believe that we ought to grow spiritually. Grow spiritually every day. I don't believe we ought to go back. If we love the Lord today, I believe we ought to love him more tomorrow. And so the joys of spiritual growth. There are many joys for the Christian. I believe tonight we can say as Christians, we can praise God for the joy of having our sins forgiven. I want you to know tonight when I think about my salvation, or God's salvation that he gave to me, there's cold chill bumps runs over my body, and I get excited about being saved. I tell you, talk to so many people today, you ask them if they're Christian, just about everybody you talk to is a Christian today. They may be lost without God, but they'll tell you a lie. They'll tell you that they're a Christian so that you will get off of their back. They don't want to hear it. But I believe tonight, dear friend, that we ought to praise God for the joys of having our sins forgiven. I realize that we can rejoice in the blessed assurance of divine sonship. I'm a son of God today. You are a son of God and a daughter of God because we've been adopted into his family. We can face the future tonight, dear Christian. You say, boy, we're living in bad times. We're living in hard times. Let me tell you something. You and I as Christians can face our tomorrows with optimism. We can be optimistic about our future. We don't have to be a pessimist, looking on the bad side and looking down all time. I believe we as Christians quit looking down and try looking up, because we have a hope and we have a promise of a better home. And so our hearts can overflow with joy as we think about the fact that Christ is preparing for us a home at the end of our earthly journey. Now, there used to be a little song. I tell you, we wore it out in Georgia. We sung it nearly every service we had. That was the theme song of the church that I pastored, the first church I ever pastored. The theme song was, "Just build me a little cabin in a corner of glory land." They ain't that much scripture. They ain't nothing scriptural about that song, because God's not going to build us a cabin. I mean, he's not going to put some of us on the backside of heaven and there we sit and we watch everybody else rejoice. That ain't God, and that's not what God has in store for us. I want to tell you tonight, dear friend, he has gone to prepare us a mansion, and we'll fill that mansion at the end of this earthly ministry here on this earth as a child of God. I want you to know today, I preached several funerals with preachers, and I'm not up here to throw off on different translation of the Bible. I'm not up here trying. If you got a different translation, that's between you and God. You ought to be ashamed if you have King James Version. But anyway, I ain't throwing off on it. But I want to tell you something. A lot of preachers get up in the pulpit and they preach funerals. And one of the favorite scriptures that we use when we preach a funeral is John 14. And we say, "In my Father's house are many rooms." That literally makes me sick. My friend, I'm going to a mansion. I ain't going to a boarding house. I ain't going to a house with many rooms. The Bible didn't say that. It said that in my Father's house are many mansions. And so tonight, my heart overflows with joy as I think about the fact that God is preparing me a mansion in heaven. We can also be grateful for the hope, the joy that we experience as we recognize the signs. Now listen, let me read that again. Let me show you. We can also be grateful. Now listen to this statement. For the joy that we experience as we recognize the signs of our daily growth toward spiritual maturity. I believe the more we grow in the Spirit of Almighty God and the more we grow spiritually, I believe the happier we'll be in the Lord. I really do. I believe that the reason that a lot of people stand right on the verge of backsliding, and they don't want to backslide, but they don't want to go farther. Dear friend, they're not happy. We as Christians, the ones of us who are happy in the life that we live down here, are those who are growing spiritually. Happy in the Lord. And I believe that's what we ought to do. We ought to grow spiritually. Let me give you some things. Number one, our spiritual growth brings joy to the Heavenly Father. I believe that every one of us would want to bring joy to the heart of God. I do, dear friend, and a lot of times I don't. I tell you, a lot of times I'm not what I ought to be. I'm human just like you are, and preachers are supposed to be up here on a pedestal, but I want you to know your preacher, me, and all other preachers are not up here on a pedestal where we can't be reached by sin. We have the same temptations of the same devil that you have, and a lot of times we yield to that temptation. And dear friend, the only way we can keep from yielding to that temptation is to grow spiritually. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God I might not know much, but I know something about the grace of God. Because I said a while ago, grace is what saved me. By grace are you saved through faith. And dear friend, I know a little bit more about the Lord. Not much, maybe. I don't know as much as I ought to know, but I know more than I used to know. Thank God about the knowledge. And I want to grow and I want to know more and more and more about our Lord. But our spiritual growth brings joy to the Heavenly Father. It would be hard, if I ask you tonight, it would be hard today for you to describe, stand up and describe when you brought your first baby home from the hospital. Whoopee! What a day that was. You won't ever forget it. That was a joyous day, bringing home that baby from the hospital. It's a happy day when that child grows up and recognizes our parents and smiles. I tell you, we'll get on Facebook and we'll cover Facebook up. We'll say, my child or my grandchild, I was the first one. I wanted the world to know that I was the first one to see that child smile. Ain't that great? To see that child, our baby that we brought home from the hospital, that smile that comes across their face. It's so precious when the child begins to say, Dada and Mama, we got a great grandboy. And he's, Mama, 5 months old, 8 months old, okay. And they're always talking about something that he said. He said, Dada. He said, Mama. I ain't heard him say nothing. But they want him to talk so bad. He's not old enough to talk. But they want him to say something just so they can tell the grandparent, me and his granny, so they can tell us what they heard him say. But, dear friend, he's not old enough to talk. And I don't believe he said Daddy. And I don't believe he said Mama. But let him go on being happy. Because you know what makes him happy? He's growing physically. Now, I'm telling you, dear friend, it's nature. If you can't stand here tonight and say, I've got the greatest grandchildren, I've got the greatest children, I've got the greatest great-grandchildren, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Every one of us think our children are the greatest, knowing they mean as a snake. But we still think they're the greatest. Oh, that's the way we ought to feel, because that brings joy to Mom and Daddy's heart to know that they're growing. But, oh, dear friend, let me tell you something. We watch them and we're delighted. We watch them grow from childhood to adulthood. But let me say this about the growth of a child. Dear friend, our Heavenly Father is also delighted to see His children grow. It's pitiful, and I've seen some of them. I was in the hospital in Augusta, Georgia, and I was sitting there that day, and a little child, it looked to be about 2, maybe 3, but it had a little diaper set, and I noticed it would pull up to its mama every once in a while. She'd pick it up, and I noticed it didn't look right. That child didn't look right. And I watched that child, and I finally asked the mother. I tell you right now, that baby's really wanting you to hold it. He said, this baby can't see, and this baby can't hear. And man, I kept watching that baby. You know what I had to do? I had to go outside of that hospital and have me a little crying spell. Oh, how sad it was to see that little baby. It couldn't see, and it couldn't hear. I just thought to myself, oh God, how good you've been to us. And so how pitiful it is to see a child that don't grow and mature like it ought to. It's pitiful. But how do you think it looks to God when you and I stay the same way we were 39 years ago when God saved us? We haven't grown an ounce in the Word of God. We haven't grown an ounce in witnessing. We haven't grown an ounce in living for the Lord. And God help us tonight. Look like we ought to do something, excuse me, to want to make God happy. We need to want God to be happy because of the way we've matured and the way we've grown. As children rejoice in the approval of their parents, the child of God can rejoice in their joy of the Heavenly Father. My hope and my prayer is that I can do something every day to make my Lord smile, to make him happy. And so if I grow in the Spirit, excuse me, I don't feel like I swallowed a fly. But anyway, dear friend, let me tell you something. God wants us to grow spiritually to make him happy. Second of all, our spiritual growth makes possible the joy of faithful servant. Do you ever get tired of serving the Lord? I guess we all do sometimes. Do you ever get tired of going to church? You get tired of tithing? You get tired of witnessing? You get tired? Hey, stay on your knees. Grow in grace and knowledge. That's the only way you can stay happy in the Lord. Not one of us likes to be a loser. I started out early in life as a little boy. I never did want to be a loser. I watched the Braves sometime. Now, they played good today. I watched them when I didn't have my eyes closed. That boy, like one out, pitching a no-hitter for the Braves. Sometime I get so mad at them, I could kick every one of them. They can't hit, they can't pitch, and I get so aggravated at them because sometimes I was telling my brother the other day, I said, Jack, listen, the Braves are losers. You just might as well admit it, and they are most of the time. But anyway, nobody wants to be a loser. No one. Nobody can tell me, I'm glad I'm a loser. No one likes being a failure. I never have wanted to be a failure in anything. Man, I like to kill myself, and you've got a man here that retired from UPS. And don't you ever tell me a UPS driver don't work. I know what they did. They like to kill to us. And I ain't got over it yet. And that's been 45 years ago. That's the hardest job I've ever seen. People say, well, he just quit preaching because he never had worked nowhere much. I know good and well I did work. They had worked you slept to death. And I was telling him a while ago about old Joe Barnett was our first boss man. He had a way about him. He would work you to death. One morning he come to me and said, Jerry, you're going to Clemson. Said, stop on the way to Pendleton. I got several boxes. And he had five or six boxes. He said, you go to Welburn's department store in Pendleton. It ain't going to take you no time. I said, Joe, where are you going to put them boxes? I got that truck slapped full. I won't get them all off today. Oh, we'll put them in there, and he's piling things in that truck. He said, just deliver them for me today, Jerry. I will appreciate it. But you know how he liked to kill us? You come in that night, he said, hey, I appreciate you. I know I could depend on you. I know I could depend on you. And the next man, he said, I know I could depend. But he bragged on us. Dear friend, let me tell you something. I'll keep you from being a failure. Somebody will brag on you once in a while. But I want to tell you something. One of the greatest joys that the human heart can know is that the great achievements in any chosen field or endeavor that we have is ours. We want to be a faithful service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's why we ought to pray every day. God, help me to grow spiritually. This is also true in the realm of the Spirit. Paul challenges Timothy and to especially do two things. In 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, listen to this. He told Timothy, he said, listen, Timothy, study. Now, why? Study to show thyself approved unto God. God approves of us studying his precious word. Don't you dare lift your hand. I wouldn't embarrass you to save your neck. But I wonder tonight, how many people can say to me, I read my Bible every day last week. Now, don't lift your hand. I want you to answer this. How many of us took time last week, every day, no matter what job we had, no matter how hard it was, we took time to read and, I hope, study the Word of God. And dear friend, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. A lot of us, listen, the Jehovah Witnesses, they come to our door. Two of them. Knock on the door. We go to the door. I don't want nothing you got to say. I'm a Baptist. And I go down to the first church. And I go to so-and-so church. I'm a Christian. And I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Dear friend, listen to me tonight. I want to tell you something. Now, I don't want to get real facetious. Don't get mad at me. Do you know the reason that we turn the Jehovah's Witnesses away from our door so much? It's because we can't hold a light to them. They're as wrong can be, and as far as I'm concerned, they're going to hell. But listen, we ought to stand there and try to tell them about our Jesus at least, before they leave our door. It's not good to run the Jehovah. Oh, we brag about running them off. And they are so, well, they're so indoctrinated before they leave Kingdom Hall. They are indoctrinated in what they're going to talk to you about when they get to your house. Oh, they'll talk about the end time. And you might think that they're telling you the truth. But let me tell you something. They're lying to you out of their hat. And don't believe nothing they say. But while you got them at the door, don't miss the opportunity. I'll tell them about Jesus. They might get saved. And don't brag about running them off. Talk to them. Talk to them. You don't have to take their literature and stand there and read every bit of it. Throw it in the trash can. But tell them about Jesus. Because so many times, like I say, they're indoctrinated. And if you get them off of that indoctrination, you get them off of that subject, and they don't even know where you're talking about. They don't know where you're at. So, when they start telling you about they fixing the house, something at the Kingdom Hall, tell them, hey, we're going to worship Sunday. We're going to worship Jesus. We should come worship with us. We're going to worship a man that died on the cross for us. And dear friend, let me tell you something. They won't stay long. You won't have to run them off. And dear friend, listen to me. Oh, God, help us. And then second of all, he says, they're rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you and I, do we know how to take the truth of the Word of God and lead a soul to Jesus Christ? Well, I tell you one thing. I got a daughter that's been talking about Jesus, and I believe she's ready to be saved. I need to call a preacher. I need to get the preacher to come down here and talk to her. You don't need to call no preacher. Do you have enough God in you to get that young'un down beside the bed and begin to pray with her and tell her what Jesus has done for you? And take John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Can you, you ought to be able to lead your own child to Jesus and then call the preacher and let him rejoice with you. Mom and Dad, I'd be ashamed today if I did not know enough about dividing the word of truth that I could lead my child to Jesus. God help us tonight. No, not only did Paul want Timothy to be an effective servant of the Lord, but Paul wanted Timothy to experience the joy of being an interpreter of the Word of God to the hearts and lives of others. You say, preacher, I'm not an avid talker. I don't run my mouth like you and the preacher does. You don't have to be a talker. On your job in the morning, just walk down the aisle of the plant, and when you get to somebody that you don't think a Christian, just be singing, "Since Jesus came into my heart." Let them hear some kind of witness that you have in you. Be an interpreter, as Paul said. He told Timothy, be an interpreter of the Word of God that you might be a blessing to the heart and lives of other people. Number three, our spiritual growth makes personal happiness possible. You can be happy in the Lord. Oh, dear friend, can you remember when you were a child and you walk up beside your daddy or your mama and measure yourself beside them to see how much you'd grown? And a lot of times that was crooked the way we did that thing. A lot of times it was just telling a story. That's all it was. We'd stand on our tiptoes, see how high we could get up to their shoulders, you know. Oh, we wanted to grow so bad, we couldn't stand it. Me and my wife married. I was 17 years old. My wife was 16 years old. We've been married a long time. I'm 75. She's 74. We've been married 58 years. Long time. But let me tell you something. I thought I never would get to be 21 years old so I could get something on the credit. We had to pay for everything we got and didn't make but $40. Made $80 every 2 weeks, made $40 a week. And we had to, boy, I said, if we only get old enough to get things on the credit. And boy, I told the truth, we ain't been out of debt since we got 21 years old. And I don't know many people is. If you want, you don't have to worry about our credit. Because we got good credit. Everybody's got some of it just about. But let me tell you today, oh, dear friend, how we ought to grow. Oh, how we ought to want to grow spiritually. That we stand upon the Word of God. And you know how tall the Word of God is. We ought to stand ourselves up to the Word of God. And we ought to produce the pride that we have in Jesus and the attitude that we have in the Lord. Oh, it ought to make the Lord happy. It ought to make us happy. Dear friend, I'm telling you, we can be happy in the Lord. A lot of Christians, walk around with a long face like a mule been eating briars. And dear friend, we ought to look up. We got hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit knows how to challenge us in the upward struggle that we have. We're going to go through a struggle until Jesus comes and calls us home, or else he calls us by the way of the grave. We're going to struggle. I got news for you. Now, I hope I don't make anybody mad. I'm going to say this. Well, I said, what's that bar, Marlboro, what's that bar woman's name? Who? Roseanne Barr. I ain't never had no use for her. Just don't like her. Didn't like that show when she had it on television. I don't like it. I don't like what she goes through now. But you know what I heard at church this morning? That she was on Hannity this past week and was talking about that she was tired. And I'm sorry, please don't let me throw off on you. But she said, I'm tired of being a Democrat, and she's turned to be a Republican, and she has criticized Donald Trump to the lowest degree. She's put him down, but now she's all for him. Well, I like her pretty good. I like her better than I did. You say, boy, you cut me off. Well, I'm sorry. I usually do. I just use that to cut you off. Wouldn't something, it'd be something else. But I like her a little better now, and I'd love to hear her say that. But, dear friend, it's time for us to experience joy as we progress in different areas of our life. Every one of us go in different directions. But every direction in this life we go, we ought to progress in prayer, in Bible study, and serving the Lord and being happy that God has given us grace and wisdom and knowledge to walk each day and serve Him. Just serve Him. Oh, I love Him tonight. I can preach about Him because I love Him. Oh, I tell you what's the truth. I never have loved Him like He loved me, though. Jesus died for me. I never have been asked to die for anybody. But I'll tell you, I love Him. He showed His love to me when He died on the cross for me and for you. It's all so fine when we experience joy in the progress of spiritual growth. Oh, how good it is when we grow spiritually. Dear friend, if I were to ask you tonight, don't you dare raise your hand. Have you ever seen a time that you could say, I've been filled with the Spirit? Oh, you get that when you get saved. No, wait a minute now. When you get saved, Corinthians says, we're baptized into one spirit or into one body by one spirit. The moment you say yes to Jesus and you get saved by the grace of God, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Holy Spirit comes to live within you, takes up his abode within you, and there you are the dwelling place. I'm the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Now, what kind of house do you have for the Holy Spirit to live in? You have it cluttered up with sin? Or are you growing spiritually as the Holy Spirit leads you day by day? God help us today. Dear Christians, we ought to grow. You say, well, preacher, we are growing. Well, I hope you are. I really do. But I'm going to tell you something. And you don't have to go down to the associational office, told them I said this. They don't like me too good down there, no how. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of our churches in Oconee County are dying. If you don't believe it, go check some of them out. Now, I didn't say First Baptist was dying. I didn't say that. But I know many of our churches, you know, they are dying spiritually. There's no spiritual growth unless we have a revival of the Holy Spirit of God. Dear friend, me and my wife went to hear him Friday night. C.T. Townsend, you might have heard of him. Last year he's in a revival up in some part of North Carolina. They had 500 people saved. And the revival has kept on week after week. This year he was in Bristol, Virginia, or Bristol, Tennessee. They were right there close together. They had over 400 people saved in 4 weeks. And that got to Washington some way. But he flew yesterday morning to Florida to preach this morning and tonight in Florida. And he's going to fly, get on a plane in the morning, and fly to Washington, D.C. He has been invited to a summit. That news of them people getting saved some way got to Washington. And they've got a summit in Washington this coming Tuesday of the most influential pastor or preacher in the United States. And he's one of them. 36 years old. God is using him. But I'm telling you, he'd tear most of our churches up because he's tough now. Oh, we don't want to be preached to like that. And we went down there the other night to hear him preach. And my wife will tell you that church will seat about 1,370. You couldn't find a seat. No, there wasn't a seat in that place to be had. And when that man gave the invitation, the altar was full, and they were backed up the aisles, people getting right with God and confessing sin. Now, we need that kind of revival in our churches. You say, preacher, I don't want to see all that. I'm not interested in all that moving. That's why we drying up. Oh, they shout, and they said amen. Man, they shouted while he was preaching. They shouted all over that church. Oh, we don't believe in that. I'm telling you tonight, now that was an independent Baptist church I was talking about. He's an independent Baptist preacher. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You check this out, and you'll find I'm telling you the truth. And I'm not independent. I'm Southern Baptist now. Don't get me wrong. I'm not independent. I'm Southern Baptist. But I'm telling you, we Southern Baptists are sitting back and paying people fat salaries to sit behind a desk and tell us what to do, and we got all the programs to get it done, but we're dying and the independents are going forward. You say, we didn't bring you here to talk to us like that. I preached in a church the other night, on Sunday night, and I don't know how he keeps people coming, but do you know in his church, the women don't wear nothing. Now, this is a Baptist church, what I'm talking about. The women don't wear anything but dresses. I don't know how he gets by with it. I reckon God's all over him. the children. No shorts. Huh? In a Baptist church, no shorts whatsoever. The girls wear dresses. And the boys wear pants with a collared shirt. And go in there that night, and that's the way it was. And I didn't know that I was starting a youth revival. I just preached that Sunday night, and their youth revival started on Sunday morning. Or Sunday night, and I preached the first service and didn't even know what I was doing. Well, it started on Monday, and it went through Wednesday. They had preaching three times a day. Those young people went to church three times a day. They had to wear dresses. The boys had to wear pants, and they had to wear collared shirts. Shirts with a collar on. Well, how are they getting it done? How you get them to do that, preacher? God's all over it. Hey, one service, they had 10 young people saved. Huh? Don't throw off on him unless we're doing better than that. Sure, it's quiet. Somebody cough. Great day, it's quiet. But I'm telling you, folks, there's something we need to do, and I believe with all of my heart, we need to grow spiritually. We need to grow in the Spirit of Almighty God, grow in the grace of God, and grow in the knowledge of God that we can serve the Lord. Well, I got to quit, but listen. Christian growth makes the joy of an abundant harvest possible. Friend, there's nothing in your life that'll bring you joy like leading a soul to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I'd rather do it. Oh, I'm not saying I'm a great soul winner. I didn't say that. But I'm telling you right now, it'll bless your soul. It'll bless you. If you, and we got Christian folks, we got, and I'm not bragging. Hey, I haven't led near the people I'd love to the Lord. But could I ask you a question? Don't you raise your hand. I wouldn't embarrass you. This is between you and God. Have you ever led a soul to Jesus Christ? Would you know how? If you go on your way home tonight, you see a car turned over, and you walk up to the door of that car, and a man's laying in there, and he said, "Hey, I'm dying. Could you help me find Jesus?" What would you say? "Let me call the preacher." He'd be dead when the preacher got there, I guess. No. Do we know how to lead a soul to Jesus? Have we grown in the Spirit of Almighty God to the point that we know enough scripture that we could quote? You say, "Well, preacher, I don't know a whole lot of Bible." All you have to know, we say in our churches, we're going to have a witnessing seminar to help us grow in the Spirit. You know what I call that? Hogwash. You say, "What are you talking about?" You don't need no witnessing sermon, sir. You'd have to pay somebody $200 or $300 to come here to tell you how to witness. I'm going to tell you right now how to witness. Take John 3:16 and tell somebody what God has done for you. That's all the witnessing you need. That's all the tools we need to witness. John 3:16. And tell of the goodness of God in our lives. Oh, by grace, we ought to all grow tonight, children. Dear Christian, let's grow in the Lord. God help us. I preach this message to me tonight because that's my heart's desire, that I grow in the Spirit. God, I want to know. I want to know more about Him. God, I want to know more about You in my last days. I ain't got long to live, I don't guess. I'm not in the best health in the world. I come up here before the church service and see if it's light enough for me to see. I can't see unless things is pretty well lit up. I don't drive much at night. I take shots in my eyes once a month, both of them. I've got microdegeneration or something. Thought I was going to go blind, but a doctor in Greenville, Dr. Antworth, started giving me these shots, and I can still see pretty good. And boy, I tell you, they told me that day that the doctor told me if I wasn't careful that I was going to go blind. You talking about having a pity party, I had one. Because I said, Lord, I'd rather you take me home. Don't let me ever go blind. And Dr. Antwerp told me that day, he said, I don't think you'll ever go blind. And he said, you're doing better since you've been taking these shots. God's so good, ain't he? And I don't want to waste that now. If God is going to keep me and give me my sight, I want to be used in spiritual growth to help somebody else to grow spiritually. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, nobody looking around. I'm going to do something here. Maybe you'd say tonight, preacher, now this is between you and God. Preacher, I'm a Christian, but I'm not where I ought to be. I haven't experienced the growth that you're talking about. I haven't grown spiritually. We was going to church this morning, like to have been late, following the boats up from our house to Calvary Baptist in Salem. We like to never get there because of the boats that was in front of us and it's going slow. That's pulling their God behind us going to worship God. I bet if you'd stop the truck and ask them, are you a Christian? They said, oh yeah, yeah. Going to the lake on the Lord's day. That might not be you. But you say, preacher, I've been saved by the grace of God, but somewhere I haven't grown like I should. And my heart's desiring to God tonight is that I grow spiritually. Grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus. I'm going to pray in just a minute. Would you lift your hand and let it right back down? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. I want you to know my hand's up. I want to be a better Christian. I want to grow spiritually. I want to be a growing Christian. Now, you lifted your hand tonight. I'm not asking you to do one thing. I just want you to repeat this to yourself, not out loud. Nobody knows who lifted her hand. But I'm going to repeat it to myself. I'd like for you to repeat it. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for keeping me in the hollow of your hand. Thank you for the assurance that you've given to me that I'm on my way to heaven. And God, I want to enter into heaven. And I want to hear you say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. I just don't want to enter in heaven and you not say nothing. I want to enter into heaven and you say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Father, by your grace, teach me to grow spiritually. And I'll thank you. I love you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Now we're going to sing an invitation hymn. If you feel any need to come to the altar, if you feel any need to come, I'm going to stand down front. If you want me to pray with you, I will. If you don't feel no need to come, don't come. But if God spoke to your heart in any way, and you feel like you need to come, you come as we sing, brother, what number?
632.
Number 632.
Standing as we sing, 632.